It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus today, Exodus chapter 35. We're going to begin reading with the 30th verse, and so please open your Bibles to that if you would, please, because we will begin the study there. It is a wonderful opportunity we have to study the Word of God. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we will prepare for the study today, and we'll begin reading with Exodus chapter 35, verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholib, the son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, of those that devise cunning work. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholib, and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholib, and every wise-hearted man, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary, every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment that caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. It was a wonderful problem there, wasn't it? Please, let's begin now to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this study. I thank you for the opportunity to teach your word, and I ask, please, dear Lord, that I be a blessing to the folks that are listening today, and that blessing come only because of your power and your strength. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. Speak to our hearts and let us hear from you. If we need to be saved, show us our sin. Show us we need salvation. If we are saved, please, dear Lord, work a work that's pleasing to you in all of our lives, that we may bring honor and glory to you. Now please speak to every one of our hearts today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin now at the end of the chapter 35, and then we read through to the 7th verse of chapter 36, As we look at these verses of Scripture, we need to see that there are a couple of men here that really receive a tremendous amount of wisdom and knowledge to do the work that's set before them. And this work that's set before them is to build this tabernacle. And there is much work. It has to be perfect. It's got to be just exactly the way God desired it. And so we see that God has taken a couple of men here. And we have a little bit of an understanding here. In the 36th chapter, it says, "Then wrought Bezalel and Oholab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work of the service of the sanctuary according to all the Lord commanded." And the second verse, and then we're going to come back up into chapter 35, "And Moses called Bezalel and Oholab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." Now, the point that I want to make in this, one of the points in this study, is this second verse, the end of this second verse. It says, "The Lord had put wisdom." The Lord had put wisdom. It's something that's to be good to underline. "Even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." You know, a lot of people I talk to and visit with, and you hear from that, you know, "Lord never speaks to my heart. He just, you know, I don't seem to get my prayers answered. I don't know how to serve him. I don't know where to serve. I don't know what to do." First thing, my friend, is to go find a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church, one that loves the Lord and loves souls, and then begin this work. Begin to get to work, and the Lord will direct you so. He will give you wisdom and knowledge in the work. And again, I'm going to read this, then we're going to come back up into the 35th chapter. "The Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." There was a special understanding and a special instruction, a special wisdom, special knowledge that was given particularly to Bezalel and Oholab for this work. I believe they were very willing men. I believe that they wanted to serve the Lord and they wanted to work. I am sure that they are not found to be lazy and not doing everything of busy work around and not tending to the things that God would have them to do. We have much of that today. When a person comes into the house of God, they would like to be entertained, and if they are not entertained, or if their children are not entertained properly, why then they say, "I'll go find some place that will." Well, there is no place, nowhere in the Word of God that says that we're to come to be entertained. We are to come humbly, come to hear, to feed upon the Word of God, to fellowship with other believers in this growth. And I'm sad to say that we don't have much of that today. The service is centered around a feel-good music, a feel-good preaching, and that's good enough. And that's all I want. And you come, you leave feeling good. You don't leave changed by the Word of God, but you leave feeling good. And you come back next week so that you feel good again. God wants to change our lives. And sometimes, my friend, that doesn't feel good. These people here come to work. And it was hard work. It was very hard work. There was nothing about the building of this tabernacle that was easy. And these men and women alike came to the work. They came to this challenge. Let's look again at Bezalel, and then we have Aholab down below in the 34th verse, and verse 30 is where we find Bezalel. In the 31st verse is a beautiful verse. It says, "And he hath filled him," being the Lord had filled him, "with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." You see, whatever work there is to be done, God will equip his servants with the necessary tools. You get to work, God will bring you whatever direction you need to be. It doesn't matter where you start, it's that you will continue to work and to serve, and the Lord will very quickly and very easily move you to where you are to be serving the Lord. And then he's not just going to put you there. He will equip you to the duties that are set up. It may not be something that you're real comfortable with, because it may be an area that you're not real familiar with, and all of a sudden the Lord's put you there, and you'll notice as time passes that you're beginning to grow. You're beginning to know how to do what you've been called to do, because God, the great teacher, has placed his Spirit within you to give you the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge in all manner of workmanship. Now, that happened here especially with these two individuals, but will happen to you too. God will equip you if you will follow his word. Not come to church to be entertained, but come to church to work. We got work to do. We don't have time to tickle your ears and get you to laugh and get you to where you feel good. Get that music. Get rid of that old music that talks about the blood and the old music and the old preaching that talks about sin. We need to get rid of that. That's what the world is saying, because that's offensive. Well, we are an offense to God, and we need to come to him under his terms and his way and serve him and praise him. We have much work to be done. This tabernacle, and we're about to go back through the list of material, the list of items that need to be made, and there is much work to be done. And so we have here in this verse 32 and 33, "And to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and brass, in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood, and to make any manner of cunning work. He hath put into his heart that he may teach both he and Aholab. Them hath he filled," verse 35, "with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer in blue and purple, in scarlet, in fine linen, and weaver, even of them that do any work, of those that devise cunning work." All the work is God-led and God-empowered. And that hasn't changed today. All the work is God-led and God empowered. In other words, he gives us all the abilities and the tools to perform what he has placed us here to do. And yet, most folks today, if they go to church, they come to hear, and they even, you may even say when you leave the church, preacher, that sermon was good, that message was good. Well, if it was so all fired good, you'd be different. You'll be changed. And you'll begin to work yourself. There is so much work to be done. And as always, there's just a handful doing the work. That's not what God has. There is so much work to do. And it's not that we take the load away from those that are already working. It's the additional work that does not get done. It doesn't get done because you have no time for the God that saved you, if you are saved. Are you born again? Have you come by faith to Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him today? You know, you need to know him personally. He's a person. It's a living relationship that you have with our God. It's not a statue. It's not a place that you go. We do have the local fellowship, the local churches. And you need to come and grow and be with other babies in the Lord if you just got saved. That we may feed you milk and that we may show you the Word of God and that you'll grow and become strong and begin to be an adult, one that can work. Come and put a full day's work in. Don't wait another day. The first verse of chapter 36, then wrought Bezalel and Aholab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all the Lord had commanded. Every aspect. There wasn't one part. You know, one member is the hand, another member is the foot. Another member is the forearm, the elbow, the shoulder. We need all these parts in order to function and to work properly. And God gives us this wisdom and the knowledge to carry out the responsibility that we have. If we're a foot, then he shows us how to be the best foot we can be. If we're a hand or a finger, he shows us the use of that, when and where and how, that it will bring honor and glory to him. And one wonderful item that takes place, wonderful thing that takes place when we bring honor and glory to him, folks around us get saved. That's what's wonderful. There is much work to do and little time to do it in. Verse 2 of chapter 36. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. You show up, and God's going to bless it. You show up and begin to do something, and God's going to honor that and give you wisdom and direction and understanding on exactly what you're to be doing. In verse 3, they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Every morning they brought in an offering for this work. So not only did men show up for work, and they come willing-hearted, they come willingly. And when they came willingly, then, my friend, also the money, the finances, the need for this work. You know, these workers, as they come, they had to eat, they have to live. And if they're spending all their time on those efforts of doing that, someone needs to bring food to them. Now, either God blessed their farms and blessed them so that they could eat. Now, you're going to find here it's going to be 40 years before they have to worry about it because God's going to feed them. But when it comes to the work today of the church, God will bless those that are in service. God should touch the hearts of not only those who are in service, but those that are on the outside. Maybe they're not real actively involved right now. Maybe physically they can't. But the support, the work needs to come. The money needs to come. The support for the work needs to come. Things need to be purchased. The work needs to come. And we've looked here before at how the gold and silver and brass and linen and all those things, whatever they had, they brought. And now they're bringing in a free offerings every morning, it tells us here. That's free will offerings. In other words, they are not required in any way to do this. But every morning they brought money in for the support or supplies of some sort, that they brought in their offering every morning. And look at the fourth verse. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. You understand what that fifth verse is saying, the fourth and fifth verse? They come to Moses and says, Moses, we're never going to need all this. The people have brought so much. We don't need it. We have more than enough. Now, the seventh verse, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you hear about some program or some special need that a church has, and so they hold a fundraiser. And some do it in many different means, from a ice cream social to a to selling something selling the kids off for labor for a day or something like that. They have so many different fundraising activities for the youth group, for things like that, so they can go do what they think they need to do. God never, ever in His Word intended that. The work that needs to be done, the furthering of the gospel, whether it's by this radio, by the website, by standing in the pulpit, by teaching a Sunday school class, by whatever means, whatever support, the support of missionaries, wherever the need is, that financial need that we have to continue to operate, needs to come from believers. It comes from the church family. That's where that comes from. It does not come from outside. And if it has to come from outside for the support, and many, many believers are not within the four walls of this church, but they're believers, they're members of the church. That is who is responsible to support the work that's before us. And we, as most places, just continue to come up with different programs to get people in, to get more money so they can continue to function and operate like they believe they need to. But you'll find that when the Spirit of God is lacking, you need programs. When the Spirit of God is present, blessing your activities, blessing the furtherance of the gospel, blessing the Bible studies, you'll find that you don't need those extra activities. You don't need those because the Lord is blessing them. And the Lord will bless them by touching your heart, by touching other folks' heart, to come and to give to support the work that is to be done. And we have a perfect example here. These people, their heart was so stirred. Oh, I tell you what, there's a word for that. I think it might be called revival. Their heart was so stirred by the Lord, and they were so excited that they come and they brought the materials. And they come and they brought whatever support that was needed. And they just kept bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. And finally, they had to come and they had to say, you know, we don't need this. You know, we need to get, we've got too much. And so here in verse 6, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Have you ever heard a preacher tell somebody not to bring any more because we don't need it? Oh, I know some preachers, and especially television preachers. They sure know how to cry for money. They're some of the best fundraisers you've ever seen in your life. You can buy a brick, you can buy whatever, you know, it's a fundraiser. All fundraisers. Well, my friend, when you need fundraisers, you're doing something that's not pleasing to the Lord. Either it is against what He wants you to do, or you are not depending upon Him to supply the needs for that. And that's where the blessing comes from. When you notice how the Lord blesses and then the Lord brings in the support. If the money isn't there to take care of a certain program, you need to look at that program. God, why aren't you blessing this? Why aren't you taking care of this? And when the money is there, the support is there to take care of those programs, it's one evidence, and not necessarily an evident, but in many cases, it's evidence the Lord's blessing it. Because there's plenty there. I mean, the world spends the money, and the world brings the money in, and so many cults and things like that can raise millions and millions of dollars. And I'm not for a second telling you that that's God's will. But when you have a program that it is God's will, and you are furthering the gospel, building the church, and when you build the church, that means you're growing them. You're teaching them the Word of God. You're teaching them every doctrine from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. You're giving them milk when milk is due. You're giving them meat when meat is time. You're feeding them properly. You're watching them grow, and you're beginning to see fruit from them. And fruit is not, as some think, speaking in tongues and things of that sort, or the ability to heal, or the ability to prophesy, or things like that. Fruit of the Spirit is very clear and very simple. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Wouldn't this world be a wonderful place if just all the believers in Jesus Christ would act such a way? Wouldn't that be wonderful? These people were so excited about the work of God. These folks were so, and not all of them, I'm sure they're deadheads there just like we have today. Those that have time only for their things and not for the things of God. And they wonder why they just have to work so hard and nothing ever goes right. And, you know, God, are you really there? Well, God's asking you the same thing. He's saying, how can you say you're a believer? How can you say you believe in me when you do nothing for me? You are not serving me. You're not praising me. You're not bringing any honor to me. So why do you expect something from me? These folks got excited. These folks begin to come voluntarily to work, and God began to bless them with wisdom and with understanding and with all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. He began to instill in them the knowledge of what to do and how to do it, and God didn't do it. They worked. I mean, there was blisters on their hands. They came home at night exhausted from the work that was set before them, but they came home excited. And those and others continued to bring in the support, the need that they had, to the place that finally they came to Moses and says, I don't know what we're going to do with all this stuff. We've got too much stuff. And so Moses put out the proclaim throughout the camp, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful statement. Too much. Isn't it wonderful, my friend, that we can look to the Word of God and see these things? My dear friend, please, please trust in Jesus today. Ask Him to be your Savior. He'll come into your heart. He'll save you today. My dear friend, what are you going to do? about Jesus.